Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of the Taking Notes podcast. I am Bruce Elgort, here with
Julian Robichaud.
And today we're here to talk about no other than Mr. Robichaud's OpenNTF OpenLog application. So, Julian, I hear you know a lot about this application.
Yeah, well, now, you've actually been trying to get me to podcast about this for, I guess, ever since we started podcasting, and I'm, I think you finally wore me down. I'll actually talk about it now.
Woohoo! How you been?
I've been good. We actually went to the beach today, and so I'm a little tuckered out from going out in the sun and, you know, kind of being in the ocean and stuff like that. But I think I probably have enough energy to, you know, to talk.
How far is Jacksonville, Florida, from the beach?
Oh, it is Jackson. There is Jacksonville Beach and Ponte Vedra and Fernandina Beach, all kind of in the area. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a matter of how far it is from my house, which is about 15 minutes, which is, you know, kind of, I'm not really a beach guy, though.
Did you use sunblock?
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, you know, 128 SPF or something.
I mean, you and I are pretty pale guys, right?
Oh, I'm pasty white.
I mean, yeah. it was clearly evident in that picture we posted up on the blog of the Taking Notes guys. So for those of you who don't know who Julian and I are, there's probably some of you who don't. There's a picture of us up on the Taking Notes podcast blog. So, all right, Julian, you ready?
Yeah. Sorry, that was probably a bad segue into OpenLog, wasn't it?
Yeah, just pasty white guys, you know.
Yes. No, that has nothing to do with the OpenLog application.
You know, I've spoken, you know, at Lotusphere and some of the Lotusphere comes to you events, and I always talk about OpenLog because in my personal, you know, belief, it's one of, you know, the greatest notes applications out there, and it's probably one of the most spoken about applications at Lotusphere. I mean, there isn't a session that goes by where someone just doesn't mention OpenLog. So,
well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Julian.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think Chris Byrne was another big proponent of it at either this last Lotusphere, the one before, and I think it did get a few mentions in a couple of other sessions, although I can't remember which ones they were off the top of my head. And I've noticed that user group meetings, there have been, I think, two user group meetings that have had sort of discussions. I know one of the DC user group meeting that happened last month.
Yeah,
I think
Kevin Pettit spoke about it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, I think it's just something that fills a hole. And I guess just to give you some history of what it is, it's just a way of logging errors and events. You know, mostly errors are the things that we tend to be concerned about, but you can log events too. But, you know, the need I had was I came into this, you know, a situation where I was not only supporting old applications but writing new ones, and the error tracking was just really all over the place. For any given database, sometimes it would log errors to the console, so you'd have print statements or message boxes or something like that. Sometimes it would use an agent log, so there would be this one database that was set up, you know, using the standard notes agent log, and some of them had their own kind of logging, like it would log to the application itself, it would log somewhere else, it would write a message, it would send an email. There was just all sorts of things going on. So I got to a point where I was coming in the morning and there were all these different places I had to check for where the errors might have happened. You know, you want to make sure that nothing bad happened the day before, the night before. And so you got to go and check the console logs, you got to go and check five different agent log databases, you have to go and check all these different applications that might have sent messages somewhere or something else, and it was just all over the place. And so I decided I wanted to write something that really centralized all that and allowed you to have all of your databases logged just to one place. So, a fairly simple requirement, and in some ways you can do that with a regular notes agent log. Because you can, with that, you can log anywhere you want to. But if you've ever used the kind of the agent log in notes, then there really aren't a whole lot of options, and it gets unruly pretty quickly in terms of the way the data is organized. There's not a lot of structuring you can do, and not a lot of categorization and things like that. So, you know, I kind of built my own, which is just something that developers tend to do. And one neat thing I was able to do is, and this is really ended up being one of my design goals once I realized what some of the capabilities were within Notes of really capturing a lot of information, is that I wanted the whole thing just to be one single function call with no parameters. Because in a lot of the other agent, you know, agent logging kinds of things I had written before, you'd always end up with, even if you end up with a function, you'd still have to pass all the stuff in. You have to pass the error message. You have to pass the function name. You have to pass, the error line. And there's all these different things. And I realized after kind of monkeying around with some code that LotusScript could sort of figure all that stuff out. And so now I got to a point where I wrote this OpenLog application where you can take any functions in agents or script libraries or you know, view and form actions or whatever, and just create an on-error go-to statement at the top, and at the very bottom just type log error and then exit the function or resume next or do whatever you want to do, and it'll create this nice document with all this information in it. And so if you need to go and retrofit an application, which I've had do, you just go and kind of you make sure the on-error go-tos are in there, and then include the script library and just do log error, log error, log error all over the place, and then you're done. So it's a pretty quick transition. So I'm sorry, I've talked a lot.
No, that's,
interrupt me.
That's cool. And what I always ask people that I'm presenting to is, all right, how many people can tell me that they know about all the errors occurring in all their databases and all their code, you know, in their Notes infrastructure, and not one person raises their hand? And then you mentioned something about using on error, you know, how many people, you know, properly handle errors. But OpenLog makes it really simple. So, I mean, Julian, how would someone go about getting started with OpenLog?
Well, you download the template. And there's sort of different levels of help documentation within the template. There's some things that are fairly detailed about how to retrofit your applications, and there's also almost a little quick start thing at the top that says pretty much, you know, copy the template over, sign everything, start copying the script library.
Right.
And so really all you have to do is do just that. Pull the application down from OpenNTF. Make sure everything is signed with an appropriate ID. And within the script library itself, there are some parameters that you can change that tells it where the OpenLog database is, and which by default is like openlog.nsf, kind of in the root directory. You can move that around.
Right.
And there's some other preferences you can set to if you want to. It has a pretty good set of defaults, so for the most part you only have to set the path.
Mm-hmm.
And then save it, then just start copying the script library to all your databases. And the neat thing about Notes is because the OpenLog template is set up as a database and a database template, that you can actually, when you copy and paste the script library into another database, when you paste it in, the database or Notes asks, do you want future changes to be inherited? And you just say yes.
Right.
And the neat thing about that is if you do this to all your databases, if you ever make a change to some of the code or some of the parameters or something like that within OpenLog, they'll all get inherited next time the design task runs.
Right.
But anyway, long answer to your question.
No, that's what people want to hear is, you know, download it, sign the database.
Yeah.
I guess it's the there are two script libraries, right? One is OpenLog functions for LotusScript, and there is one for Java called OpenLog class, right?
Right, and both of them actually do exactly the same thing, just for the different languages. So you can have your LotusScript and your Java agents all logging in exactly the same way to the same place. And that was another thing that, you know, kind of a design goal is that you'd be able to use whatever language you wanted to. So unfortunately, I couldn't do it with formula language. But
is the one caveat currently, right?
Yeah. And if anyone has any clever ideas about logging things from a formula language, I'd love to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've got the script library in your database, really all you have to do is go through the functions that you want to start logging errors from. And again, at the very top, just make sure there's an on-error go-to statement. And at the bottom, where the error trapping occurs, you literally, after you've, at the beginning of your script library or agent typed, you know, use open log functions. At the bottom of the different functions or methods or subs that you're writing, in the error catching block, then you just type log error, and that's it. And then and from that, the document that you get actually has I think something like 20 really discrete pieces of information. It tells you not only the error. It tells you the function that where the error occurred, so you don't have to pass that or anything like that. It figures it out. Gives you the error line, the error message. In note 6 and higher, it gives you a stack trace. Mm-hmm. So if you've called this function 5 levels down, then it will tell you the sequence of functions that end up calling it. So you can tell, and you can really start pinpointing exactly where it happened in the code.
Yeah.
And that's true with LotusScript and Java. There's actually a way you can do that in LotusScript. And it's an undocumented function, but anyway, look at the code. You'll see how it does it. But it also gives you things like the username, the access that the user had, the type of client that the user was using.
Right, and the version.
If it was a user. So yeah, the version of the client and the roles that they have, the access they have to the database, all sorts of things like that. And it all kind of gets rolled up into the database so that you've got everything separated. I think the default view has the, I think it has like the month and then the database itself and then the different places where the errors occurred, like the different agents or script libraries or anything like
that. Actually, you have by date, by database and agent, by database and date, and then you have with comments. So
yes. Yeah, and the comments thing is kind of neat too, because if you have, let's say you have an error that happens just all the time, so you've got an error that happens twice a day or every Friday or something like that, once you finally figure out what that error is, what you can do is go into one of those, and there's a little comment section at the bottom, just type a comment in saying, oh, this is normally what causes this error. And then, you know, close it and just save it with the document. But what's neat about that is when you look in that comment section, the things with comments, it'll show up in there, and so it kind of gives you this little short list of sort of common errors and what's causing them or comments about them or whatever, so that you can start doing your own cross-referencing.
Right.
So next time you see that error, you might go back to the errors with comments and say, oh, well, look, this when last time this error happened, someone put a comment down here and this is what it means.
Right, and it only shows the ones with comments, right?
Right, which should be a short list because normally you shouldn't be getting a lot of errors, right? Mm-hmm.
And one, you haven't seen my code, have you? So, Julian, this open log can work on server-side code as well as client-side code, right?
Right, so it can run either when... like you have schedule agents running on the server, and those can log their own errors and things like that. You can have code that's being run using Open Agent through a URL or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Web query save things on the server. Anything that happens on the server, it can log right to it. But also, if you have a database that you're using locally through the Notes client, and something happens, like you click a button or you run an agent and it causes an error, that will also log to the OpenLog database. And so all of those things get trapped in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to consider, too, is that the OpenLog database can be replicated throughout your environment, so you don't have to point all your scripts at the one database, right?
Right. And in fact, that's very good when you're talking about schedule agents or things that happen on servers, because there's very specific security settings that you have to make when you want a database on one server or on the local server to talk to a database on another server.
Right.
And that's enough of a hassle to where normally you don't want to have to deal with that. You just want to have replicas of the OpenLog database so it can always be logging locally.
Mm-hmm. You know what? One of my favorite features, I'm in love with OpenLog, and one of my favorite features, babe, is that the notification feature, which says, set up a notification, notify, this guy, that guy, and this girl when this particular agent in this particular database in this particular function in this on this particular server generates an error.
Right.
Do something.
Yeah, and in fact, you can have them overlapping, too. So, like right now, in my production environment, I normally have it to where any error that happens anywhere, go ahead and send it to me in an email. But you can also, in addition to that, have a second notification document that says, oh, and also, if that error happens to be on this server for Bruce's database, then also send an email to Bruce.
To the management team, yeah.
Exactly. You can send it to a group, you can send it to a person or a group of people, or however you want to do it.
Right.
And there's, you can customize the subject if you want to. There's a lot of options you have within the email itself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things I'll probably end up adding as an improvement later on is a lot of people have asked if I could set it up to where if you have 5 notifications that are kind of pending to be sent to you, if you could send them all in one document
instead
of 5 separate emails, which, that's a reasonable request. And I think some people have actually made some customizations to make that happen,
mm-hmm.
But it's not really in the core code yet, and that's something that I've been meaning to put in there for a while.
And just the triggering events for these notifications, like I said before, you can have servers, database names, agent names, function names, error text, event types, severity levels, and you can even use wildcards, right, Julian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you can have, I think I have it set up to where you can have multiple wildcards. It uses the LotusScript like statement, so anything that's valid for a like statement, which is essentially the same thing as the wildcards that you use in DOS file names.
Right.
So a question mark for a single character, you can put numbers and letters in brackets, you can use asterisks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you have, male/star for the database name, then anything within the male subdirectory would count as something that would be filtered by that notification.
Right. And then the other thing you could do, too, is you can include a doc link in the mail message, right?
Right, and the doc link goes directly back to the error log, or the error message itself, the document within the OpenLog database.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of handy because then you can just go right to the error.
Well, you could actually see the document that a user was working on, right, when they got an error.
Right. In fact, that's sort of the other way of logging the error. There's log error, which is no parameters, just log error, and it'll give you all the information about what's going on in the function or whatever. There's also log error EX for log error extended, and that actually takes some parameters. And one of the parameters that's in there is a notes document. And if there is no notes document to speak of, you can just pass nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you happen to be, let's say, looping through a bunch of documents in a view, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's an error processing one of the documents, you could do log error EX and pass the doc reference in that function. And then within the error document itself in the OpenLog database, there's going to be a doc link back to that bad document in the database.
Naughty document.
That bad document. Yeah. So that's kind of handy too, because again, a lot of times what will happen is you'll have an error that happens in an agent that's looping through 50 documents or 50,000 documents or something, and you know you got an error, but you have no idea
which one caused the error.
Right. Yeah, which one it is, right? You were going through so many documents, who the heck knows? And this way, it's a very easy way to pass a doc link back mm-hmm. to that document.
So why be so negative all the time, and why are we always talking about errors? Can't OpenLog, yes, OpenLog can. Can it do other things like track, like good things that happen?
Sure, events. Yes, I guess you kind of classify that as errors and events.
Errors and events.
And an event can be just anything. It could be an error if you wanted it to be, I guess, if you're kind of being difficult about the grammar. But an event would normally be just some kind of notification that you want to make. And again, that can tie in very nicely to the fact that you have these notification events within the database itself, so that OpenLog every 5 or 10 or 15 minutes or whatever is sending out these emails of any new errors or events that happen. You could send something out as simple as saying that this agent finished running for an agent that runs just occasionally or randomly or whatever.
Right.
And that way it would automatically not only log that it ran, but you could set the notifications up to where it'll also notify certain people by email after it's run, and not have to put that logic in that and that kind of
in the code
code in the code itself. Right, right. You just send it to OpenLog and let it handle it. Mm-hmm. And of course, it could be, you know, you could get very very fancy with the kind of events that you log to, and in terms of you know, putting a lot of detail about certain documents that are being processed or certain actions that happen or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you can go crazy.
What, you know, OpenLog is it currently at version 1.0? I think it got released on OpenNTF, I think, in the February-March 2004 time frame. And there's only been one reported bug on your code.
Ain't that great? You know, part of that is
take it. Just take it.
Okay, I'll take that. I will accept the compliment as it was given to me, and thank you.
So, great stuff.
Yeah, I'm proud of that. And actually, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that that I do have sort of a beta version of, I think I end up calling it 1.1, on the NSF Tools website, and haven't released it to OpenNTF yet. I think I finally just need to. That actually there is some speculation that one of the undocumented functions that I was using, which is called LSI_info, had some memory issues, which I think that's still just sort of rumor and speculation. But you know, despite that, I went ahead and rewrote the parts that use LSI_info to use getThreadInfo, which is documented and is supposedly thread safe, and everyone can use it happily and stuff like that. So it wasn't a lot of changes, but that was something that was sort of requested because there was a user who was using the database who was told by IBM, actually, that they shouldn't use it because it used LSI_info, and, oh, what a bad function to use.
Another naughty function.
Well, and maybe I should have been logging that function call as an error. I'm not really sure. but that was, I don't know if I'd necessarily call that a bug, because, again, no one's ever actually said there's a problem with it. It was just someone speculated that there it could potentially cause problems, I guess. So that was something where I did change some code and made it available to anyone who was really concerned about the use of that function. Mm-hmm. But I'm really not convinced that there's any call for alarm.
I've heard some people talk about using OpenLog as a front end for like a bug tracking database. What a great idea.
Really? That's a good idea.
You know?
Hey, why not?
Exactly. You know, let all your bugs show up automatically and you can deal with them. So
assign them to people. Yeah. Oh, and as a matter of fact, in the beta version that I put out there, it ties into DDM.
Ah, tell us about DDM.
That? Yeah.
Domain monitoring.
Yeah, Domino domain monitoring in Domino 7. And to be honest, I don't have like deep knowledge of DDM. I just know that I found out, and I can't remember if Thomas Gums told me directly or if it was something I dug up through some documentation, but there is a way that you can make your own applications log to DDM. Now, DDM is something that they put into Domino 7 as a way of tracking events that happen on the server and to some extent within databases. It mostly deals with servers, I think, in terms of errors that happen and messaging issues and, you know,
replication,
really things that right,
operating
things
system stuff, yep.
Yeah, things that normally would have been caught with the events database. And I think it's, I'm not sure if it's technically an extension of the events database or not, but you know, if you think of it as the events database sort of on steroids, then you can really do a lot of things with these things that happen on the server, and you can assign them to people, and you can you know, set up notifications and stuff like that. Well, mm-hmm. I set up that beta version of OpenLog to where you can optionally send your errors to DDM as well as the OpenLog database. So it'll still show up in OpenLog, but it gets sent to this special queue that DDM listens on. So if you are using Domino domain monitoring and you do have you know, some processes set up around using that tool, that your database errors can kind of get moved into that too. So you can use that to manage not only your servers and things like that, but you can actually start managing some of the errors that happen within your applications. You know, just all your custom errors, which makes that even more powerful.
Yeah, there are some other OpenNTF apps too that actually have options to log errors that occur in those databases to OpenLog. I think Ehrlich Krauss and Thomas Schulte's help databases is one of those, and I know there's a couple of others. So,
yeah, and I encourage that because one of the other things I built into the script library is that. So let's say that you download help from OpenNTF, and it has the OpenLog logging built into it so that it's always going to try to log to OpenLog whenever an error happens. Well, let's say that you do that, but you don't have an OpenLog database on your server. Well, I wrote the script library in the class so that it should fail gracefully. So even though it's trying to log to the OpenLog database, if it doesn't find the OpenLog database, it just says, "Well, fine, you know, I'm not going to do anything. It's not going to mess up the rest of your code, mm-hmm. and nothing is going to stop working. It simply won't get logged." So that's actually kind of handy too. So you can actually include that with your applications, and if someone's already using OpenLog or they want to, they can take advantage of that. If not, then you know that's fine because you're not gonna nothing's gonna break.
All right, Julian, any last words for on OpenLog?
OpenLog, no, it's really it's something that if you've ever really thought about trying to consolidate your error tracking and event tracking and things like that, you know, if you've got more than like three databases you have to keep up with, that's probably something that's run through your head, and maybe you've started doing something with some of the regular agent log functionality within Notes, definitely just download and try it out, because once you kind of understand what it does, it's extremely easy to set up, and it has saved me just countless headaches. I mean, it's one of these tools that I wrote because I needed it. And it just kind of turns out it seems like it's something that other people need to. And it, because it's completely open source, if it doesn't do exactly what you want it to do, hey, you just change the code. And in fact, I even have at least one example in there of a way that you can override the code so that if you want to make a subclass and start logging to something that's sort of like OpenLog, but has some slightly different functionality. It's very easy to do. So just try it out.
All right, that's about it for this episode of the Ticking Notes podcast.
Do you think they're still awake? I feel bad. I start talking about applications and projects and stuff.
Usually our podcasts aren't so technical, so this is probably one for the reference series. So
that's true. Well, I'm sorry, guys. Come back for more exciting stuff next time. How about that?
Next time, hopefully, we'll be talking to someone about same time from IBM. So I mentioned on my blog it was Adam Gartenberg, who's the product offering manager for same time, and we're scheduled to talk to him on Wednesday. So Adam, no pressure.
now, are we going to get to talk to him on same time?
Well, sure. Let the cat out of the bag. We're going to try to record it on same time and have the meeting recorded. Then again, if we have enough time, if there's enough time, if not, we'll just resort to Skype. So,
all right, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
that'd be very cool.
That would be kind of cool. And Adam suggested it, so we can try it. But I don't know if it'll work on the Mac. I guess I'll have to turn.
Yeah, I've got my Linux box here too.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
that might be another little. I could use Windows. If I need to.
It's time for a burger over here, so.
All right. Sorry.
No, it's
okay.
Didn't
mean to keep you late.
No, it's okay. Hey, everyone, thanks for your patronage, and we'll catch you real soon.
Bye-bye.